You're listening to Forex Fridays here on Money FM 89.3. The words tightening and tapering have become more prominent when you listen to the language from various central banks across the world. We did hear from the European Central Bank overnight that they were going to prepare to trim their monthly asset purchases meant to support the Eurozone economy during this pandemic. And also more Federal Reserve officials, again, sounding out that despite inflationary concerns and concerns of a possible slowdown, the taper plans should probably be stuck to by various central bank officials out in the United States. Well, how might this potential trend towards tapering impact Forex markets? And should we be taking inflation more seriously this time around? Well, today on Forex Fridays, we're joined by Vishnu Varathan, the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank, to help us recap the week that was, what to make of all these new policy changes and this new shift in policy language, and what currencies he might be watching out for given all of this. Vishnu, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Hope you're having a happy Friday, at least.
Happy indeed. And it's always good to be back. Thanks for having me, John.
Great. So, Vishnu, again, as we mentioned, the taper talk seems to have picked up in recent days. We heard those two senior Fed officials reiterating their support for trimming asset purchases within this year. Another one overnight fell. One of the Fed governors, Michelle Bowman, also alluding to that as well. We heard from the ECB that they're also expecting to begin addressing similar moves. But how might this actually impact both the greenback and the euro, given the fact that these are two of the most important currencies in the global FX complex?
I think you've hit the nail on the head, John. In fact, what really remains to be seen is how markets assess the relative taper between the Fed and the ECB, because in most cases, the dollar and the euro tend to be antagonistic. So if they deem the Fed to be somewhat more aggressive with the taper than the ECB, then we might expect to see the greenback rising and the euro not just being subdued, but perhaps taking a few steps back. And so I think this is the balance that markets want to get a better sense of. The ECB has come out yesterday, and I think they have framed their taper as a mere calibration. And so they have kicked the can down the road to December. So a year-end reassessment is due. The Fed is also about in the same ballpark, because from here, we are looking forward to the November and December meetings as possible timing for announcing, with September looking quite unlikely. For now, we think the dollar will probably have a little bit of an upper hand and will stay on top over the course of the rest of the year.
So if you were an FX trader, would you be perhaps looking at the dollar as being more sturdy compared to its counterpart across the Atlantic?
For now, that would be the initial assessment. Of course, this would be very highly sensitive to two things. One would be the rhetoric coming out of the ECB and the Fed, seeing whether or not it changes. The other being incoming US data. I think the bar has been set quite low for Eurozone data, whereas for the US, there have been discernible signs of a slowdown. And mm-hmm. if there's any sense that the Fed is going to knock push out taper due to the softness of the data, that could then surprise with a slightly more bearish greenback. Euro strength that corresponds to it.
Mm-hmm. I know, as we've noted from language from various central bank officials across the world, inflation seems to become a growing concern. We've got Eurozone consumer price indexes at 10-year high. You even go out to China, factory outputs and factory gate prices also rising significantly and weighing on many of those manufacturers. U.S. firms also saying that they could start passing input prices to customers. Do you think that central banks are becoming more concerned or are under more pressure now to act on these inflationary pressures as, say, 6 months ago, when most of them believed that this was still going to be transitory?
Well, I think the idea that it's transitory by and large continues to be in the mainstream of the central bank speak. Well, so central banks have definitely become more watchful, but alluding back to the Jackson Hole speech by Jerome Powell, the Fed's Jerome Powell, as well as Christine Lagarde's forecast for inflation, it appears that inflation is still expected to subside somewhat. And central bankers very critically have created a bit of a dissociation between the current peaks in inflation and the policy action that's required. That's to say, for now, they're happy not to act on it, but they stand ready.
You know, in terms of rate hikes, though, Vishdu, the Bank of Korea seems to have really kicked things off. And it seems that they're not done yet. Officials up in Seoul did indicate that another rate hike may be on the cards. They are watching very closely the rise in home price pressures out in South Korea. Do you think that the South Korean won thus becomes the one of the currencies to watch for the last 4 months of the year?
I mean, it certainly becomes a very interesting one to watch. But here are some things to think about, or at least to be aware of when we watch the BOK's moves. I think for all that's said and done, the BOK's move need to be assessed as standalone rather than as part of a cycle. So that's to say, the last hike was a calibration. If they do another one within this year, that will also be a calibration that is short of a commitment to a hiking cycle. And the thing to bear in mind is that house prices are perhaps best contained via macroprudential measures. And I think in the earlier statement when they hiked, they did state that they are watchful of the levels of debt. But here's the thing, if debt levels are high, there's some adjustment to rate is okay, but hiking rates too quickly could create its own crisis as well, which is why the pace of rate hikes is something that we cannot reference the past cycles, or we can't reference the past cycles for this current pace. Korean won strength could also depend on how the renminbi does. So these are many, many moving parts here.
What is the relationship between the Korean won and the Chinese yuan right now, Vishnu, that could give the former a boost?
Well, I think all else equal, given that BOK has been has gotten a real good head start with the hiking cycle, the won should actually be fairly strong, particularly given its exports advantages, so on and so forth. But if the China regulatory tightening risks overwhelms all of the other good news, you could get a much weaker renminbi. And actually, ironically, the Korean won could inherit some of that weakness, but in a blown-up fashion, because renminbi volatility tends to be subdued, whereas Korean won reacts faster, being a far deeper and more liquid market.
All right. Interesting insights on the relationship between the yuan and the Korean won. There, we're listening to Vishnu Varathan, the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank, here on Forex Fridays. Now, Vishnu, there's this other prevailing trend that we've seen pick up in recent weeks, and that seems, market jitters playing out among safe haven currencies. The likes of the Japanese yen, the Swiss franc seem to have gotten a bit of a benefit, actually, because of this. Do you think that this trend will continue? And if so, which of these two safe havens might actually stand to flex more?
You know, for now, we think that the Japanese yen could still see quite a bit of a boost from safe haven, and that particularly if it also coincides with optimism about the Japanese economy. But the thing that we remain watchful of is even in these safe haven trades, the yen and the Swiss franc are relative gainers, whereas if you do get taper coming into the picture, or you get a rather severe version of risk-off, the dollar then continues to come out on top in such a scenario. So the base case is we expect these two currencies to hold up better, but not necessarily to consistently outperform going into the end of the year.
All right. And, we still have about 4 months, coming to 3.5 months before the year ends. And time really does fly, Vishnu. But as you've seen in the currency markets, a lot of action, still a lot of room for things to happen. Anything can indeed happen. What currency would you be watching closely in the coming weeks, Vishnu?
In the coming weeks, particularly heading into the FOMC on 22nd September, I would be watching the euro pretty closely, mainly to gauge how markets are looking at the ECB versus Fed taper plans. And to a large extent, if you get a big euro movement, the corresponding big dollar movement also sets a very big backdrop for trends in the currency markets. The other one would be renminbi, because that would have a huge bearing on other Asian currencies. And policy in China remains far from clear, and we keep oscillating between good and bad. So these are the two particular currencies to watch to lay a very big backdrop for foreign exchange market trends.
All right, very interesting insights there. We'll have to leave it at that. I'd like to thank Vishnu Varathan, the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank, for joining us today on Forex Fridays and helping us make sense of all the taper and tightening talk that's been going on, that's been shaping Forex markets and broader market sentiment in general. Vishnu, as always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times, and we look forward to next time we can have you join us in the show. Meanwhile, have a great Friday and great rest of the week ahead, sir.
Thank you, John. Stay safe. Pleasure was mine.